Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. Usually I'm trying to be, you know, zealous, you know, try to be happy, try to be the best that I can be here in Sports City, to sit up here and talk sports the best that we can, right? There's a lot of bigger issues in the world today, whether they need maybe motivating people in your life, whether they just may be somebody walking alongside you, it's life at the end of the day, people. First and foremost, before I get this show stat summit, rest in peace to Buddy Ryan. And although I have not heard of any names being confirmed about this situation, but rest in peace to the individuals overseas in the Turkish situation that just lost their lives in a bombing situation overseas. This has to be one of the more critical days in life in the world I've ever seen. Two legendary, Hall of Fame, whatever attachment you want to put to the side of their names, you can. To Mrs. Summit, to Mr. Ryan. However you want to address it, I feel like they both definitely earned their way across the board. Like, I'm really talking right now, trying to fight back emotion right now, because I feel some type of way about Pat Summit, because I've watched her coach for at least close to three decades of basketball. Like, that's big. That's a sport that I told y'all I love. So it's like talking about this is epic stuff to use to. You know, you get used to parents or people close to you. You think they're Superman and feel like they could live forever, or Superwoman could live forever. And then something catastrophic happens and it just leaves you at a standstill. Well, I'm speaking personally. Some people can move better. Some people can handle it. I've been through a lot, but it's like you can never get used to it. At least speaking on, you know, personal agenda, I can never get used to it. So, like I said, before I kick this show off, I had to get that off my chest before we start digging into a lot of their stuff, their accomplishments, things of that nature. I'm going in Sports City. I'm going in because this is personal. I take it personal with Pat. I mean, Buddy Ryan, I've seen a lot of you. You're a rival, great coach. You produced two sons that went out there and did their thing, even though a lot of people feel a certain way about Rob. I won't even dig into Rob, but we'll get into it. I got a show to do, Ty. We got to get busy. Moment of silence, first and foremost, to everybody that just passed on 6/28. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen Thomas is alive.
What about I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost. And tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money, just to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. We got y'all here, Sports City, man. If you're downloading the show afterwards, or catching us live, y'all can call in. Y'all already know that number, man. Get in here, sportscitychef.com. That's the website. Sports City, I'm really trying. Like, I really am trying. Like it's hitting me like my father, like when my father passed on. Like, similar nature, man. Similar nature. It's like stepping stones of people in life, people you learn from, man. Hearing the interview that they had with one of the better, because I know people will have a debate for me if I were to say this, but I would love to just to do it because I need to lift my spirit a little bit. I like to call her the best female basketball player I've ever seen, but there's other ladies that have, you know, came out of, you know, college and did their thing, and Shamique Holdsclaw, and Shamique couldn't even talk. Like, Shamique was crying the whole interview, and just hearing her be emotional, hearing Carol Lawson be emotional, I could just imagine what Candace Parker is going through. Like, a lot of girls that just been in the care of Pat Summitt, for her to get a lot of these inner city girls. Shamique Holdsclaw is from Queens, New York. Astoria, Queens. For you to get a city girl to go to the country and have her win 3 straight championships, close to getting her 4th, losing to Duke in the Final Four, I remember all of that. I'm a Pat Summitt fan. I'm not going to lie. I'm a Tennessee, and ladies basketball, I love Tennessee. Love it. You go through it every year up here. I live in Connecticut. How you going to go against Geno? I know that makes the rivalry great for me. That makes the rivalry great, man. So Geno and Pat knew. It was like, as soon as they met, they shook hands, it was war. And I felt it. I could feel it. They would shake hands, both of them would turn away, and it was on and popping. UConn versus Tennessee. Connecticut versus the man, you couldn't tell me nothing different, man. I miss those days, man. I miss it now. Meanwhile, there ain't no more Pat Summitt coaching, and Geno just running the women's college basketball ragged. They can't even deal with Geno. So, you know, just all the memories, man. I got a lot, man. I'm gonna start digging into a lot of it. I got my brother, my co-host, Tommy B, in the building with me. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm actually very emotional. I woke up and got the news about Pat. I'm with you. But it hurts even more because I've actually, the summer going into my junior year, I really started to get letters and recruits for college basketball. Everybody really started to send me letters. So I figured I'd have to work on my game a little more. So I went to different camps. Tennessee was one of them because Pat Summitt was helping running it. I've always wanted to meet her. If I would have been a woman, then let me say this again, and Ty knows this, I am a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan in all sports. All sports. If Pat Summitt would have sent me a letter, and the University of Miami would have sent me one too, I would have called the University of Miami, called and told them I'm sorry. I would have made my happy ass straight southwest to Tennessee and played for Pat Summitt. In my book, she was the greatest basketball coach of all time. She knew her basketball before. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, the woman, man, rest in peace, Pat. Just, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I can just imagine what her players, former players are going through, and her assistant coaches, and her son, and everything. It's bad. It's sad.
And it's crazy that you bring up her son, and her son just got into that situation this year. Just this year, 23 years old, married, I think he might have a kid, and then they try to say, oh, well, he did this, it's going to tarnish Pat's legacy. I still remember coming on the show the next day, I forget what venue or network put it out. I was like, you must be crazy to think that what he does in his, you know, younger years of his life is going to ruin what Pat did as a coach. You must be crazy. And that was just a diehard fan coming out of me. I'm not going to lie. I mean, much as I could try to break it down and try to be analytical as much as I can be, like, there was no way I would fight that to the bitter end. somebody tried to say that her son could ruin her legacy when she left in good terms. In good terms. I mean, and that was a discussion that I had set up today was, you know, trying to figure out which coach, and I don't know if we want to do all coaches or college basketball coaches, just in general, where do we rank her? I mean, of course, there's a couple of coaches that may have more wins than her. Geno has more championships than her in college, women's college basketball. You also have John Wooden, who has more than her as well. But at one point in all time, she was on top of, you know, on top of the pile with the wins that she amounted. She was coaching since 1976, and I'm not even looking at all of the accolades right now. I heard the story several times over and over again. Since 76, and has been running that team since her health started declining. It was not like she got bad and they pushed her out of the door. Once her health started declining and she couldn't remember stuff, they basically tried to talk her out of the situation, which she actually accepted and said, you know what, I think it is time for me to step down. For coaching for over more than three decades, I mean, wow. Wow. And being at the top of women's basketball too at that. And a lot of men, especially people that come to Sports City, they say they don't respect women's basketball or things of that nature, man. If you're an athlete, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. Just like I said, if it's table tennis or badminton, I probably won't watch it, but I respect you because you're out there using your body and gifted at doing it. But you see gymnasts sit on rings and do whatever they want to do, flipping on the parallel bars or doing what they have to do, flipping off the horse and things like that. Man, athletes and sports, it brings us together. Look at the nation right now. Like I feel like I'm getting motivational because I'm digging for my coach or something. Look at the world right now, how we all divided. All of us are divided. I don't care how you look at it. They're trying to divide everybody up, have everybody pick a side, and go to war with each other. Look at what just happened overseas in Turkey right now. Two suicide bombers took 10 lives. I think the toll could be less or more. I hope I'm wrong.
It's
I hope
28.
I'm wrong.
Hold on. At last I saw it was 28.
That's terrible.
32 dead, 88 wounded. And I'll say this, and anybody that wants to get mad can get mad. Pat Summit is University of Tennessee. If somebody says, what do you think about the University of Tennessee, and that the first name that don't come out of you is Pat Summit, you're an idiot. It's not Peyton Manning. It's Pat Summit. Pat Summit put that university on the map.
I would actually say the same thing. I would actually say that I've watched college football like crazy. Of course, if people know me dearly, they know I'm not a big Peyton Manning fan, but I respect what he could do on the football field. I know everything that he could do. I remember him back in the Peerless Price days, the T. Martin days, all the Jamal Lewis days. I could do this for hours. And just like Tommy said, Heath Shuler. I could go back because my father was a Redskins fan. Watching Heath Shuler be the guy in college football and couldn't transition to, you know, make it to the NFL, ended up being a big-time, you know, congressman, you know, things of that nature. I can think about all of these situations that I grew up through and lived through. Every time I hear the University of Tennessee, just like Pat said, the first thing I think of is Pat Summit. I can't think about nothing else. And just looking at her fiery instinct and how she yell at the girls and how these girls will respond, and she'll come up with a championship. She did it. She did it before Geno, even though I think Geno had the first undefeated season before her, though. But she had the first three-peat that I can recall in college basketball, and that was with Shamik Holtzclaw and company. That's when Shamik came fresh out of high school from Queens, and I've never seen basketball like that in my life, the way they were running college basketball. And I could go to her accolades and everything that she's amounted, but like I'm just speaking like fresh off the hip, straight off the top of my head, man, and knowing how many people, and just like Tommy said, just thinking about all the players, they interviewed Shamik Holtzclaw, who had, and I'm not even gonna lie, that I deal with stress. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it real, 100% on Sports City, because I deal with stress. You know what I'm saying? Shamiqua Holtzlaw is battling depression. And she said, you know who will come and see her as much as possible every day, would knock at her door, and she didn't even know that she was coming, would be Pat Summitt by herself, no matter where she was. I listened to that whole interview and was like, wow. She said, even when I was struggling in D.C., she said, I'm in the middle of my basketball season, and here come Pat knocking at my door, and I don't even know she's coming. I'm thinking she's coaching her girl. She came from Tennessee, middle of the season, to come see Shamiq in Washington, D.C. That's crazy. That's crazy. Knowing that it's more than just coaching, more than she's a people person. And this is what I was trying to hit on before when Tommy gave me the numbers. You see how they're trying to separate everybody. Everybody, I could care less on how the situation is going, because I know who's real and who's fake, and who could win through the bull crap and be strong-minded individuals at the end of the day. But you see how they're trying to pattern this situation, right? But one thing that I like about what we do here in Sports City is sports brings every last one of us together. I could care less who you like, what team you rock with, so on and so forth. If you look at a Yankee game, you see Donald Trump in the middle of Yankee Stadium. Don't nobody bother Donald Trump. But yet Donald Trump is at a Yankee game, you know, like, or George Bush. George Bush is sitting down there with the Texas Rangers in the middle of the crowd. He's not even sitting in the skybox. You know, like, things of that nature. Knowing how sports bring people together. And looking at Pat Summitt, being a country-born woman down here in the South, to get all types of ladies all across the country, all across the world, because I still remember Marciniak, one of her shooters. Man, I could do this for hours. And getting them to buy in and come to the country land of Tennessee and play ball. Because outside of the University of Tennessee, I mean, there may be some great cities down there. I need to go down there because one of my boys is begging me to get to Nashville, begging me. But, I mean, outside of the college campus in Knoxville, it's like, what else are they looking forward to? To try and get in trouble and be around a bar somewhere or get on campus and probably do some underage drinking, something like that? Like, there wasn't really too much that they looking forward to in Tennessee. At least that's from my perception. There may be more down there to do, but probably from a lot of what these girls have been given, they probably could have went to a, not to say that they're the best team in college, but a UNLV or Miami, like Tommy said, or who knows, Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Like, just trying to think of all the big cities, that have big college names. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they chose to go the route with Pat. So, I mean, Tommy, anything else off the top of your head before I start digging into, like, her accolades, the thing that she's done in her career, and then I'm going to get to Buddy after her.
Just that, I mean, it was just so special to actually meet her. And for her to say I know at least, I think, 57 campers that were there total. And I actually got to be put in her group for her to actually be the chaperone and watch, make sure, because we actually stayed in the dorm rooms of near camp, near the gym. And just for her to sit there and say that I had the biggest heart and I'm the one that wants this more and she can say this, and, I mean, I literally wanted to cry. But my ego wouldn't let me. Just for her, man. Y'all don't even know. I mean, just go, Ty.
All right, listen. I'm in the same boat. The one that got to me was, like, I heard Shamiq. She couldn't talk. Like, Shamiq was talking the whole time, and it was like you could tell she was riveted about a situation, just, you know, just showing her emotion. But watching Carol Lawson with the camera in front of her trying to speak and knowing that she was emotional and they trying to keep her calm while she was on air, speaks volumes, and this is crazy, because Pat and my mother, and speaking of which, the guy that I just said, and Donald Trump, they all share the same birthday, all three of them. Pat Summitt, Donald Trump, and my mother all are born on June 14th, Flag Day. So that's one thing, and she just had her birthday 2 weeks ago from today. She passed away 2 weeks ago from today. I mean, well, her birthday was 2 weeks ago from today, you know, and her death day was today. She mounted over 1,000 wins. She had 1,098. Of course, it led a women's basketball team to gold medals. She's amounted 8 championships in Tennessee, which she was behind John Wooden at the time, and then Geno just won the last 4, the passer, because Geno was behind her. Geno was actually behind her while he went on a run. Her undefeated season was back in 97 and 98. That was the season that I was talking about, the last championship with Shamik Holzclaw and how crazy they went. And excuse me, I had the year wrong. I was saying it incorrectly. She's been coaching that team since 74. So since 1974 to 2012, she has been the shogun in Tennessee.
Wasn't she like 20 or so? She was young when she took over the team.
She was 22 years old when she started head coaching at Tennessee. 22.
Yeah, I knew she was young.
So they basically raised her. Like that university, just like you said, when you think Tennessee, you think her, right? Listen to this, right? Here goes the number that knocks me flat. Even though it is women's college basketball, if people feel a certain way, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not even trying to overlook the talk like that, but this is a true talk. Her coaching record at Tennessee, 1,098 wins to 208 losses.
Wow.
She did not play around when she was if she was coming out there to coach, y'all, listen, y'all better play y'all A-plus game if y'all think we got a shot, because she is not trying to lose. I still remember when Candace Parker left college after that three-peat that they had, because Candace had to leave college because she was too damn good, and that was the first girl that they seen dunk in a game, and then here come Brittany Griner. She dunking left and right. But hey, nevertheless. And Tennessee, it was on the decline real bad. They couldn't recover because they were basically, you know, Candace Parker heavy. And I still remember that year where they got bumped out early and they actually brought the cameras to Pat Summitt's farm and watching her get those girls ready for the next season. And she had those girls on the farm, digging ditches, yelling at them like they were still on the court. You know how many girls or people, not even just women, I'm not even going to talk about women, you know how many people probably would have gave up and be like, you know what, I'm going back to the dorm, grab my bag, and we're going back home. She had them doing that in the middle of the summer, getting ready for the next season. Just knowing how she was probably building character more than anything. But I'm not done. Let me get, look, the girl got a list, y'all. She got a list now. Hold on. Okay, championship-wise, she's won 8 championships, 87, let me get it right, 87 to 89, then 91, 96, 97, 98, 2007 to 2008. Then she also won 16 SEC championships. She basically owned that conference. She owned the SEC, 80, 85, 90, 93 through 95, 98, 99, 2004, 2007, 2010, 2011. She's won 16 SEC championships, 80, 85, 88, 89, 92, 94, 96, 98, 99, 2000, 2005, 2006, 2008, 2010 through 2012. 8-time SEC Coach of the Year, 7-time NCAA Coach of the Year. I mean, and this is in the nation. Naismith Coach of the 20th Century. Wow. What? She won Coach of the 20th Century, people. And in 2012, she won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, or was not even won. I mean, she's awarded. I don't think she wins that. I think they picked somebody. And I remember this because President Obama put the medal on her, and watching her receive that award, and that was her last year coaching. At the University of Tennessee. She also played basketball in 1975. She won a gold medal in the Pan American Games. She got a silver medal in the World University Games, another silver medal in the Olympic Games in 76. And then head coaching, she ran the show. 84 in Taipei, 84 in Los Angeles, they got gold. Silver in 83, gold in 79 in Seoul, Korea. 79 in Taipei. They also got gold, and she also got a silver in the Pan American Games as well as a coach in 79. Like I'm gassed. Like I'm gassed talking about her. And by the way, in 2000, while she was still coaching, let me ask the Kate. While she was still coaching, she got inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2000. Like they're like, screw all of this. We ain't gonna wait till this career is over. Like you're good. Like you're good money. We gonna probably make a good shrine about you, things like that. This is Pat Summitt, people. This is Pat Summitt. I'm truly tears in my eyes. I can't even lie. I'm glad y'all can't see me because I'm watery eyed. Just listen. I'm gas talking about her. I'm gas talking about her, man. Tom, anything that you like to mention outside of everything that I mentioned, of everything that she's brought to Knoxville, Tennessee?
Just that she was one hell of a motivator. If she seen her team wasn't, it didn't matter if it was a minute, 2-3 minutes of the game and her team was struggling and all, she'd call that timeout. Most coaches wouldn't do that. They'd let's see if their players can work themselves out of it, and then it'd be too late and they'd be down. She called timeout, motivator kit her girls, and be ready.
And I think you're being real light with motivating, because she would rip them girls a new one. That's what I love. I would love when the camera would get in Pat's face. Pat didn't care who was looking at them. She was screaming at her star. It didn't matter who it was. If it was Shamik, if it was Passion, I could think about all those girls for days. Marciniak, Tina Davis up there, Nikki McCray. I can name all of the ballers she had. I could just imagine how all these girls were going crazy, man. I mean, Tamika Catchings, man, she got a laundry list of girls that left their respected area of the country and came and basically gave her their undivided attention to make them all champions. All of the ladies I named have won a championship with Pat. With Pat. I mean, God got a good one up there right now. I know he's got plenty of coaches up there, but he got coach right now. He got coach. Okay, so I'm going to get away from Pat because, like I said, I can do this for hours. I can look into everything that she has, but I know a lot of men don't like women basketball, feel some type of way, but I'm going to show my woman respect. I'm going to show her respect. She definitely gets credit here. Rest in peace also to Buddy Ryan. Huge piece of NFL football since the start of football. Well, not the start of football, but like the start of the actual NFL. Back in the 60s, he was actually a part of the Broadway Joe show and helping them get a championship, and also the 85 Bears, who people still till this day in 2016 claim that that's the best defense that they have ever seen. Even including, you're a Ravens fan. I know. Look, we can have that discussion. I love that. We can have that discussion. That's good. That actually entertains me. I would love to have that discussion. But okay, I could actually put up like three other defenses that make that a discussion. But anyway, they had Mike Ditka actually talking about the situation, and Mike Ditka was like, "Yeah, well, we had big people on the offensive side of the ball, but that defense won the championship." He said, "You can try and fool people all you want." He said, "Of course, I love walk the paint and things of that nature." He was like, "That defense brought that championship back to Chicago." And everybody knows about the 4-6 defense, that they were so tough to stop. Because at that time, they had the box filled, 8 guys, and tried to stop it. And all of those dudes were madmen, all of them. And thinking about all the players that he was in sync with, from a guy that I met personally, and a lot of people feel a certain way about him, but in person, a great person, and Mike Singletary. I met Mike Singletary in person, had a conversation, everything. Mike Singletary is probably one of the better men that I know in my life as a professional athlete, and literally gave me the time of day to talk for more than like a 3-minute conversation, and I got to run. And the crazy part about it, when I met Singletary, it was a Saturday before his game. This is when he was coaching the Niners. I met him that Saturday before a game when they were playing the Buffalo Bills up in Buffalo. And hearing how he's speaking on behalf of Buddy Ryan and saying Buddy Ryan was his mentor and helped push him while he was in Chicago with him together too. So just looking at that stint, and Buddy left Chicago right after he won that Super Bowl. Philadelphia picked him up and said, you know what, come run the show. Like, come run the show. He won the Super Bowl. They said, you deserve a shot to run the show. And he was there, you know, up until 90 and, you know, took some time off, ended up coming back to the game with the Oilers and finished his career as a coach with the Arizona Cardinals back in 95. But, I mean, this is interesting, knowing that Buddy actually won, well, he helped win two Super Bowls, one in Super Bowl III and one in Super Bowl XX, spanning over two decades, you know, speaks volumes on how he made his defenses work. Now, I know a lot of people try to talk junk about, well, his sons are trying to eat off of the credibility he brings to the game, which people can feel however they feel. I don't even want to jump into that discussion. That is, you know, how people feel. I feel like Rex has been more successful in his career than Rob has, and I feel like Rob, everywhere he goes, they put in a situation where he's a defensive-minded guy and his defenses get blasted also. Then it's like, like, I don't know if you were listening to your father too well, but that's a whole other discussion for a whole other situation. Your thoughts on Buddy Ryan, I mean, how he actually been able to pass his, you know, knowledge on to both of his sons and trying to see what they can actually, I guess, try to revert or twist their father's defensive prowess. I mean, your thoughts on Buddy Ryan and what he meant to football and to your knowledge as well.
Buddy Ryan was probably one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time. My most memory of Buddy Ryan was when he was in Houston Oilers. And Ty, you're going to laugh when I say this.
The fight.
And it was back when NBC would have most of the games on Sunday. They didn't have just the Sunday night game like they do now. It was always, I think, what was it? NBC and Fox, I think, that had the two games. And they sent the camera went down the Houston sideline, and Buddy Ryan was fighting the offensive coordinator. That is the most memorable. And the 85 Bears team was good, but they were nowhere near as good as the 2000 Ravens. I'm sorry. That 2000 Ravens defense still holds records that they broke of the Bears. But Buddy Ryan taught a lot. I mean, you think of that 2000 Ravens team that pretty much Rex Ryan was on that 2000 team. Buddy still had kind of a part of that 2000 Ravens because of his one son. And Buddy was helping that too. A lot of people don't know, Buddy wasn't a coach on that 2000 team, but Buddy was helping his sons, or his son Rex. And Marvin Lewis was on there. I could go on and on in days. Coaches that are out there now. That he was helping them tell them how to help run this team. Buddy was another legend that we're really starting to lose a lot of legends this year. A lot.
Okay, now, and I'm actually looking at the list of defenses that they have and mention where the Chicago Bears 85 defense, they threw out the 2015 Broncos, which we've just seen, the 2013 Seattle Seahawks, leading the boom, 2002 Tampa Bay Bucks, interesting, with Simeon Rice and Sapp and those boys, the 76 Steelers, the Steel Curtain, the 2008 Steelers as well are being mentioned, the 91 Philadelphia Eagles. Also, the Dolphins of 72, Green Bay of 62. These are some of the defenses that they have mentioned in the same breath as the Chicago Bears defense. However, there was a stat that I'm actually trying to blab as much as I can. But I think it was a situation where they only gave up like a handful of touchdowns in that 85 season. I can't remember the number. I'm trying to really find the number of touchdowns that they gave up in that 85 season.
The 2000 Ravens broke that.
How many touchdowns was it?
Because the Ravens, that 2000 Ravens defense had the most shutouts in a 16-game schedule because they were winning games 6-0, 3-0, 9-0, 9-6. They give up a field goal. I mean, because our offense back then sucked. I mean, that 2000 Ravens, I'd say that 2000 Ravens is the best. That 85 Bears team is very close. I can't remember what year the Vikings defense, they called the Purple Eaters.
Okay, well,
they've got to be up there.
Listen, and this is crazy because I think that they might be doing this because, he might have passed on or whatever. But they had the discussion as the Bears defense being number one. All time, and having the Ravens right behind them too. So this is interesting. I just had the list. Just hang on. Let me get this list back. I was clicking passports. Bear with me. And this is NFL.com, people. This is NFL.com that I got the stat from. So while I get this back up there. Any other defenses? While I get this, I'm trying to get this stat back up here. I'm searching hard for this.
I mean, yeah, I'll give my respect to the Pittsburgh Squanders back in the '70s and everything. I mean, Tampa Bay's defense. I mean, back when they had, of course, the Kane, Warren Sapp. I'll give that one. I mean, that Warren Sapp helped run that defense. Because we all know it's all about the U. Jesus. I mean, like I said, that Minnesota defense back in the day.
Hold on. Hold on. Here we go. So, look. They have number one, the Chicago Bears defense, right? They allow 258 yards a game, first in the NFL history. They only allow 12 points a game, number one in NFL history. Right? Number two is the Baltimore Ravens. They allow 247 yards a game. They allow 10 points per game. Really? Number three is the 2015 Broncos. They allowed 283 yards a game and gave up 18 points a game. Seattle's number four. 273 yards a game, 14.4. Interesting. And this is in 2013, too. 1986, they have the Giants there. The Giants gave up 297 yards a game. We're giving up 14 points a game as well. And that's the top five of this. I mean, I'm still searching for this stat that I'm looking for where they only gave up a handful of touchdowns. I'm still looking for this number. But this is a great debate. This is definitely set up for a great debate. A lot of teams that, came out there and put up awesome gaudy numbers defensively, especially looking at how Baltimore did it because they had a cast with a young nucleus in the linebacker core and a secondary that basically thrived off of watching you turn the ball over with Rod Woodson and company. But then you had this Chicago Bears team, all across the board from Otis. Wilson is well. I mean, you can just think about some of these names that they had with Chicago that helped Jewerson and God rest the dead and Dave Jewerson as well. I'm trying to rack my brain off of the guys off the top of my head quickly. And of course, like I said, with Mike Singletary also, another name to throw in there as well.
Was Ron Rivera on that team?
Rivera also played with them as well. Ron Rivera also played there too. I'm up here trying to talk about them off the top of my head. Richard Dent, okay, so now I'm looking at their roster. Richard Dent, Hampton, they had Gary Fensick. Now I'm getting the names and I'm looking at it fresh. I'm actually was rattling them off the top of my head, trying to come up with some of the names, but I mean, wow, that's an interesting debate. Definitely is. But regardless of how you put it, Buddy's a part of this situation of watching top defense after top defense, whether it was the Bears or him having a piece of, you can even give Rex the credit. Where did Rex learn that from? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Like, but Buddy had a piece in all of this madness that he was actually sending out the people to pick up off of. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the, one of the more memorable games in Super Bowl history, in the Jets Super Bowl going up against Johnny Unitas and them. Just think about that. The underdog story of all underdog stories. Out of all underdog stories, and they were able to close the door on the Colts and win that. Think about that. And he was a part of it. From the 60s, coming into the 80s and making a difference, passing it off to his son and letting Rex and Marvin get a handle of that 2000 defense. And I think that basically made Marvin Lewis.
Jack Del Rio was in there. Singletary was there as a linebacker coach in the 2000 Raiders. I mean, Singletary, Jack Del Rio, Buddy Ryan, Marvin Lewis. I'm trying to name people off the top of my head. The former coach for the Falcons before they fired him. Shit. The hell is his name?
From the Falcons?
Yeah. Not Anderson. There was a whole bunch of players. I mean, just different running that helped run that defense. So, I mean, Buddy had a good hand on both them defenses. Because, like I said, Buddy helped. I mean, Rex would send his father game tape or practice films to be like, and they'd sit all together and watch. And he'd point out with the little coach's ticker and show them. I've watched the video, and even in the thing that they did on Ray Lewis, the NFL Network did, he even said, he'd sit down with Buddy, just, Ray, this is Ray Lewis, one of the greatest linebackers of all time, I don't care who you say. Mm-hmm. Ray said Buddy would sit down with him and his son Rex, and they go through it together. And Buddy be like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to read this. I mean, Buddy did knew his stuff.
So reading more into this situation, his passing too, he passed of Alzheimer's as well. Well, he had Alzheimer's disease. They're saying that they don't really have the knowledge of what he passed away with. But knowing everything that he meant to the game and meant to people around him, man, you can speak volumes on this being a monument time in sports on two, you know, legendary coaches, just like I said, with Pat Summitt as well as Buddy Ryan. And like I said, this discussion could go forever. And it would have been good if we had everybody here in the cookout to discuss it, thinking about what teams could go where, best defenses of all time. But just knowing that they always continue to throw his Bears in this conversation, also just like Tommy said, the Ravens being there and knowing his last name has something to do with that. Or looking as far back as the Jets and people on that no-name defense. You know, like, so Buddy Ryan, definitely as his health started declining, he passed away at the age of 84. So not to say this kind of selfishly, but he's lived a good life. And I feel like I'm saying that selfishly, like, you know, I feel like I'm underselling it. Like I'm saying that wrong. I feel bad. Like I'm saying that. I apologize if people feel like I'm being heartless about that. But he lived to be 84 years old, and you know, watch his kids do well, and know, now reading more into the family situation, you kind of see where, you know, the violent environment came as, you know, him and his family didn't stay together, so I could tell why the kids are kind of, you know, mean, mental like that. Great. Great. And knowing, I mean, hoping that something, you know, pans out for at least both of his boys, because I think they're coaching together now in Buffalo. I think Rex brought Rob
yes,
up there
are.
With him. So hopefully they can get something done in the AFC East, at least for
Could you imagine if he could have lived just a little longer and he could have seen his kids? Yes, Rex has won. Like I said, Rex has won a Super Bowl with the 2000 Ravens. But if he could have seen what Rex, because Rob, don't even get me started with him. He's running the defense in Buffalo, or helping run it with Ed Reed. If he could have lived just a little longer to watch him win a Super Bowl,
that would have been. I think he'd have definitely been real comfortable with that. I don't think he'd have had any qualms about it. He also served the country as well. Being in the service, I'm actually reading more into his military service. I'm trying to do this on the fly. I definitely don't want to undersell this by any way, but, you know, Rex passing away at 84. Shared the same birthday as Michael Jordan as well, too. Kentucky is where he passed away at. He's an Oklahoma guy. He's an Oklahoma State Cowboy. Shares that with Barry Sanders as well. I'm doing a lot of quick reading off the hip for Buddy Ryan, a.k.a. Well, better known as James David Ryan also. Anything else before we get away from Buddy Ryan, moving into some of the topics of the day or things that we want to throw out there, or coaching, if you will, too? Because like I said, I had the carousel of coaches that you actually helped throw out there, you know, how we could position Pat Summitt and John Wooden and, you know, Geno, Phil Jackson, Lynn Wilkins. I mean, you could throw names like that. I mean, this could be a great show to talk about what we've seen and what we've heard or read about with some of these coaches. But before I do anything toward Buddy, before we get away from him.
Not much more. I mean, we've all pretty much already said it. Like I said, it's a sad day for everything.
Okay, so looking back at the situation with the coaches, like I said, how would your top four be? I'm going to give you a wiggle room pick in coaches. Is it? Do you have?
Are we
Phil?
Going
have...
just college? Or are we going just basketball coaches? Period.
How do you want to do it? I was thinking basketball coaches. Period. I was thinking basketball
then
coaches.
That's what we can do then.
Okay. So and whether it's men's college basketball, women's college basketball, or NBA. I'll give you four. I'll let you do your top four because it's tough to do the three because I know a lot of people will probably say John Wooden, Red Auerbach. People feel a certain way about Phil Jackson. I don't even know if a lot of people want to put Phil in that top three, you know. But I don't even want to persuade you into anything. Your thoughts on the top four coaches, if you could put them together, or you don't have to put them in chronological order. Just to come up with your top four.
I'll go Pat Summitt. I'll go John Wooden. Red Auerbach. You know what? I'm going to do it. Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh, that hurt it. That hurt it real bad. That hurt it. That hurt. Oh, man, and I cannot stand Coach K. That's good. That's good that he threw him out there, too. Wow.
Man, I don't like him. I still say there's some kind of cheating or something going on down there.
Right.
But I'll leave that for another day.
Okay. And it's tough to put a lot of these coaches in these situations because it's like if they had the dominant players at that given time, it's like what did they have to do? But – because you look at Red Auerbach situation, they creamed the '60s winning championships like that, but I can't take away from him. So I'll go Red Auerbach. I'll go John Wooden, because just thinking about how many years he won back-to-back titles with UCLA back when he was Lou Alcindor, and as soon as Kareem left, they ended up getting Bill Walton. I mean, that I felt like that's cheating. They were cheating watching that bloodline go down to L.A. So I go Red Auerbach, John Wooden. I got to go Pat. I got to go Pat, man. Just because of what she was able to do with women, and just that number alone, 1,098 to 208 losses, like she was probably going season with she only lost like one or two times. Like it still won her 30 games. Like, that's a lot. So I got Pat in there. Now, the fourth one is tough for me because it's like, do I go Phil? And a lot of people get mad at that Phil situation because they're like, oh, well, Phil had Scotty and Mike. Phil had Kobe and Shaq. He didn't have to do nothing. It's like, okay, I get it. But he still runs stuff in the NBA. Or do I go Geno? Me being right here in Connecticut, because look at what Geno does.
You know,
I mean,
what? I'll give you time to think. I can go five. I can go another five.
No. Because, look, Geno is in his discussion, too. Geno had 11 championships. 11.
And this guy that I say, you will love.
You got Lenny Wilkins, too, because Lenny used to be a former coach with the Sonics, too. But go ahead, since you're pushing at it already, who do you have?
John Thompson. I got to get John Thompson in there, too.
Yeah, but Johnny,
even though
Johnny
I'm not a big Hoyas, even though I can't stand the Hoyas, but I'll show my I know enough the hate away to throw John Thompson in there.
Why can't you stand the Hoyas? What do we do to you?
They are a bunch of choke artists in March. That and they cost me some money.
Oh my goodness. See how they pick at us, man. They pick at us regardless. I couldn't. As much as I would love to say John Thompson, I could never put John Thompson in this company. He only got one championship, man, and he did that when Georgetown was just out of their mind. I mean, Sleepy Floyd, Pat, man.
John Beilein. John Beilein.
They had Freddie Brown right there. That was Freddie Brown. Damn.
You got Jim Beheim. Was it Beilein or Beheim at Syracuse? I mean, it's hard to sit there.
Jim
Beheim.
Yeah, Beheim too. Beheim
think about how long he's been at Syracuse.
Since the 70s.
I mean, good Lord.
This is a very intriguing conversation, Barry. Let me write them down. Let me see how they look. I want to see how they look. All right, so I said Red. I said Pat. I got it. Just because of today, too, I got to, man. John Wooden, and he passed on. I got to go Geno, man. Geno might be it, man. Because then I started to think of, like, you know, how much Pat Riley was able to generate with the Lakers back in Showtime. But he ended up picking up Showtime in the middle of a season, just like Tyronn Lue did, and ended up winning a championship as well. And being in a comfort zone with Magic and Kareem, like, that's tough. That's real tough. I mean, you got the league's leading scorer of all time, and at that given time, the league's leading assist guy until Stockton broke that record. I don't think too much of it was hard for Pat Riley, but basically instilling what he learned from Adolph Rupp. So I couldn't put Pat in that conversation, but it would be interesting. And everybody I'm naming is like championship laden, except Phil Jackson. But Phil Jackson had four of the biggest superstars that we've seen in basketball at the time that they were playing, with Mike and Pippen dominating the 90s, and I actually got into an interesting discussion this weekend about if Michael Jordan didn't retire, that they think Mike could have won 8 straight championships, regardless if Hakeem was playing ball that good down there in Houston or not. That's
I like
one. And then in a 2000 situation, watching the dominant Shaquille and Kobe, you couldn't stop the big man, and you couldn't stop a shooting guard that was feasting off of everybody paying attention to what Shaq was doing in the paint. So, I mean, then you get Phil credit there. I mean, Phil was able to watch that all drift away, have that backlash happen after 2004, after they lost the championship to the Detroit Pistons, and then watching Kobe try to do it himself and couldn't. And then once Phil got back, he brought Powell and dealt with the Bynum, and they got two more there while, you know, Phil came back. So as much as I really feel like I could put Phil in this conversation also. I feel like I'm disrespecting him. I do, but I know people that be like, Ty, you're crazy by putting Phil in that conversation. And that'll be like somebody like how Chandler used to try to pick that apart, and, you know, Chandler being a Knick guy, you say, oh, well, I remember when he was a bench player for the Knicks. I'm speaking strictly on coaching situation, but, again, Phil had stars around him that carried it. But, you know, people don't believe in how the triangle worked. This is a great conversation. So, I tell you, my four is Red, it's Pat, it's John Wooden, and Geno. And it pains me to say Geno. It pains me to say
See,
Geno.
Geno, because women take nothing away from women basketball. Enough sexist, I watch it here and there. Women's basketball isn't what it used to be back in the day. Because all your top talent goes flocking right to Connecticut. Because that's where they go. They don't, I mean, you can't get them. I mean, yeah, Tennessee gets some here. I'm trying to think of some good to other girls, good women talent. Notre Dame's not
bad.
South Carolina's not bad. But really, I mean, it's not really that strong anymore.
But you gotta
when
pay
you
the
get every top talent player in the country, you should win.
True. Well, listen to this. How about this? He had Elena Dellavedova. Picture if she stayed in Connecticut. She would have been playing alongside of the girl Stewart that just left, and she's playing with Seattle now. She would have been playing with him. That would have been cheating. Geno would have been cheated. Like, he gets those, and just watching how Geno actually coaches these girls, and you got to see, and you know, living here in Connecticut, knowing I had a couple of friends, well, a couple, knowing I have a lot of friends that went to school at UConn and graduated, watching him teach these girls, well, have them practice, he would have them practice against the men's teams, whether it was an intramural team, or a guy that would play a pickup ball, he would have those girls go body these dudes. And it wasn't even like they were playing like, you know, oh, they're getting hit hard in the paint. Like, no, these girls were down there banging and trying to make things happen. So, listen, knowing Geno had these girls ready, and I don't even feel comfortable talking about Geno like this. I don't, because I'm a Pat fan. Like, and everybody be like, aha, we got the number one, y'all. Listen, y'all. Yeah, lucky her health started declining. I still say that. And for God rest the dead, man, for both of them swimming in the sky right now. But, do you want to change it? I mean, your four was either, you said John Thompson or Coach K? You got to go Coach K. Coach K got the leg
K,
up over
time. But
right.
Thompson
right.
would be five.
He would be five.
Yeah, you know what? No, I know who five would be. Take John Thompson out. Dean Smith.
Oh my God, man! This is a tough conversation. This is tough.
I
man.
Forgot all about it until now.
Wow.
Because you got to put Dean Smith in there somewhere.
Then you forget about, like, Bobby Knight. Man.
Yeah, Bob Knight.
I think this is
Larry Brown. If you take Larry Brown out of the NBA and just go college, what he did at Kansas, what he did at what he's doing now at SMU, I mean, college wise, he's got to be in there somewhere, at least top 15.
See, then we start spilling into a whole different breed, because then it goes in the top 10, top 15, because then I look at Coach Tark, because, you know, when he had Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon, I ain't going to lie, I was watching. I was watching that. I loved every last bit of that. So it's like, I don't want to forget Tark the Shark. A lot of people, God rest his soul, another great coach passes on, too.
You got the guy from Arkansas back in the day.
Nolan Richardson.
Yeah.
Look, that's why I'm limited to four. Because like I said, we can do this for hours. We can name names for hours. Like, let me chill, man, before this get messy. And this is like throwing college coaches in there with pro coaches.
Don't get me wrong, Sports City. I will be texting Ty after the show other coaches that we forgot that are still coming into my head. I'll probably come up with coaches while I'm sleeping. I'll wake up at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning and text Ty, hey, we forgot about this coach.
He will. Look. In the chat room, people, we have the top four coaches of all time: John Wooden, Pat Summitt, Red Auerbach, Gino Auriemma. And then he actually said before Gino started getting all of that talent, it was going to Tennessee as well. And also, women's college basketball hasn't been strong top to bottom as it is right now. It is true, because we've seen South Carolina as a number two ranked team. Notre Dame is always a threat. Tennessee started coming on strong later in the season. I'm trying to think about other schools. Baylor, and the job that she does down there in Texas as well. I'm spoiled. I'm not even a fan of the team, but I feel like I'm spoiled watching women's college basketball, because it's like it's on every TV when Geno's around. Geno runs it. Until I can see a coach consistently do it. I want to see a coach knock him off this year, and I think y'all got him. Like, y'all got to do this for, like, at least 2 or 3 years straight or something. Or you even had, what was it, 2 years ago, the girl out of Philadelphia, the pitcher, Monet Davis, she said – baseball might not be her sport. She's going to end up playing basketball for Gino Auriemma. She was 12 years old already saying that. So she's already letting Gino know. And plus in the celebrity basketball game, she gave Kevin Hart that spin move. So I know the girl got game. She got a little something. But she was 12, 13 years old right there. But hey. But that's an interesting discussion. Like I said, that's an interesting discussion of top four coaches.
But you don't
all time.
Put Mike Krzyzewski up there for what he's done. Because you take Mike Krzyzewski away from Duke, what the hell does Duke have? Lacrosse?
Right. Hey.
Women's basketball team's not bad.
Right.
I'm not saying that. Right. Their women's basketball team's deep. Decent. They're always up in the top, 10, hovering around top 5. But you take Mike Krzyzewski away from Duke, and God, I hate them. Trust me, people, I hate it. But I got to throw respect where respect's due.
So you give the edge of Coach K over Gino.
Yeah. And it's not got nothing to do with sexist or anything like that. But what else has Duke got? Don't dare anybody. Don't anybody say football. God.
Okay. Okay, well, let's do it like
this.
You want to do
nothing.
Hold on. You want to do that, right? I live here. Prince of Connecticut didn't have Geno.
Connecticut's got stuff in men's basketball.
Yeah, well, okay. When they get the luck of the draw and they get a good run, like they get a good run, then okay, yeah. And I got to give Kevin Ollie respect because Kev did an interview here at SportsCityChallenge.com. Go check out that interview. But
I mean, Connecticut's had some. I mean, not lately, and that's because of. Don't even get me started with the NCAA in the way football is nowadays with these big bucks. But Connecticut, they're not terrible when it comes to college football. I mean, they compete in that American.
Oh, you're talking about the football. I thought you were talking about the basketball. Because I was going to say in 2013 is when Kevin Ollie won the championship with that team that came out of Connecticut with boat riding those guys.
Look at Duke. Besides lacrosse, soccer, they're not that bad. They're nothing. You say Duke, just like we said, Pat, when we said Tennessee is Pat Summit. Same thing with Duke. What do you say about Duke? Oh, Mike Krzyzewski.
I mean,
before Duke got good, people couldn't wait until freaking November. Because basketball season started. Because they knew what the football team was going to put, a bunch of L's. They might get lucky and get a win here and there. And they still can't pack the place in Duke. I've been down there, I know. God, they packed the place for basketball.
Let me tell you how crazy Geno is at college basketball. You know, like, if your team or school or city or state wins the championship, they put the sign at the state borders when you enter the state and be like, well, let's just say, for instance, not Kentucky. Because I've never been to Kentucky, so I wouldn't know that. But, like, let's just say, like,
what you're talking about, because when you enter West, like, when you get into work, my home city, Martinsburg, West Virginia, you'll see a sign, welcome to Martinsburg, home of Vicki Bullitt. And she won a gold medal, won a national championship at Maryland and everything else.
Right. When you enter Connecticut, you don't even see a sign like that at all. At all. No matter what state border you cross, you do not see, home of the, the 94, 95, women's champion basketball team and all of these. You don't even see that. It's just welcome to Connecticut, Governor Malloy, and they welcome you or whatever. Like, everybody know what this dude is about. Like, they already know. You think people that don't hit Connecticut don't know about that? They already took the Hartford Whalers from them. That was the only team we did have. Send them to Carolina, now they Hurricanes. Like, come on, man. Geno is Connecticut. Put it this way, Geno's so big in this state.
Everybody wants to be a Hurricane now.
Oh, gosh.
Perfect. I had to.
Look, that's in hockey anyway. But Geno's so big in his state that he has his own restaurant in the doggone casino. Like, they let you know about Geno Auriemma. They let you know. Any of your kids, any of
those kids. You go to Durham, North Carolina.
Trust me, they do that
down there, too.
My family's from North Carolina, so I know. I know. Okay. Call number 917-889-9592. I have a couple of topics. I know he would love to hear this, especially one of them being baseball, in which it's up against his rival right now, which these guys are playing against each other today in the New York Mets. The Mets have actually claimed Syndergaard, and we just spoke about him yesterday, that he has bone spurs right now. Interesting enough, I wanted to talk about him before I start talking about other pitchers that are having health issues at this time. Your thoughts on Syndergaard at this point in time, while the Mets are actually in the hunt to try and make a push at you guys?
So he does have the bone spurs in the elbow.
Right.
So they're going to use that excuse for the Nationals knock his ass all over the park. Nice. I'm not shocked. I mean, for him to have bone spurs and for him to still pump it up to 100 miles per hour like he did yesterday, that's something to be amazing. Someone better check to make sure he's not a robot or something, because my godbrother had bone spurs in his elbow and all, and he wasn't throwing no 100 or whatever. But, I mean, I know the last I heard that Maddox that they've got, he had this stuff. But, I mean, hey, well, I think his Syndergaard's last start, they pulled him early, too, because they said his elbow was flaring up. Hey, I'm not meaning this to be mean, because I don't want to see anybody hurt, but go ahead, New York. Ruin the pitcher's arms, please. We'll run away with this division easily. Just keep ruining your pitcher's arms. You better start learning to manage pitching. Because these pitchers that they've got up there, Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, the young kid was Maddox, however he pronounces it, they've got a future, a long future. But they keep letting him go out here and pitch all 9 innings and 8 innings and over 130, 120, 115 pitches in a game that they don't need to be out there pitching. You're just going to kill their arms. Yeah, mm-hmm. New York, keep doing it, because I'll be happy to see that lead go from 4 all the way up to 10. Keep rolling your pitcher's arms, please.
Okay, and I'm looking at it now, I had another topic thrown out there, and this is pitchers with their struggles injury-wise. Kershaw is battling a back situation. You know about Steven Strasburg and his back situation, where they're actually claiming this as being upper back muscle spasms or strain, actually. So, I mean, how do these guys bounce back as being two of the bigger names in the league, not just in the National League, but in the league altogether, and with a guy like Syndergaard being how I started this topic out in the first place?
Well, the Steven Strasburg situation, the MRI came back today that it wasn't upper back strain. But he threw a bullpen session today and was fine. They're going to wait and see how he feels later on today, how he feels tomorrow. Now, he is on that 15 DL, so he can't come back even if he is fine and everything's fine. He's still got that window where he can't come back. But that I'm not really worried about. If everything comes back like they reported at the pregame, that he threw that bullpen session, everything seems to be fine. He felt fine. They're going to watch him during the game tonight, and see how he feels, and monitor him and ask him tomorrow when he comes into the ballpark how he feels. I mean, if everything's good, I'm fine. I ain't worried. I don't know how to say this. Kershaw, that's worrying. They're sending him back from the road trip to get tested and everything, and sending him back to L.A. I mean, you think about, like I just said, all the innings, all the pitches that he's thrown.
Mm-hmm.
That could be what – Dodger fans are probably sweating bullets. I can't wait to see what the MRI and everything shows. Because Strasburg, listen to me. Kershaw's last start against Pittsburgh against Pittsburgh, he didn't look his best. And he lost that, I believe, Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how he looked, how, what's really wrong with that back. Because he looked excellent against my Nationals. My God, he looked good. So I'm interested to see when, I'd like to know when he heard it and what's wrong.
Okay, I was going to throw out the David Price situation, but I really don't feel like there's too much there for the David Price situation, even though I feel like I can talk about him, especially everything that's going on from him getting the Boston till now. It sets up for an interesting discussion, but I do want to go back to the free agency talk, which we actually talked about yesterday. Tommy actually put the dish out, but it's interesting the way things are turning. Now, in the middle of the season, they were talking about Harrison Barnes. Now, Harrison Barnes being an interesting piece of this Golden State Warrior team, his jump shot really wasn't there for him in this postseason run, right? Well, not even the postseason run, because he was hitting shots in the postseason. Just in the NBA Finals, he fell asleep, if I could use a better term. But they are saying the Philadelphia 76ers are interested in Harrison Barnes, and they have a small forward there already in Ben Simmons. So it's like, what type of collision are you guys trying to make happen unless they're trying to make Harrison Barnes the shooting guard, a.k.a. the two guard? So I'm wondering how that pans out. But they're saying if Golden State can't bring in Kevin Durant, then their number one priority is to keep Harrison Barnes there. Now, it's like, to me, why would you break this team up? This is what bothers me about the Golden State Warriors. They just won 73 wins. They've never seen a team win this much in a regular season, and you're already ready to break this up because they fell a game short from the finals. Or not even the finals, from their championship. Forget the finals. They needed that last game to win it all and couldn't get it done. So now I guess everything is on the blame of Harrison Barnes, so you guys are going to play fickle with him? Like, so I don't know. It makes me nervous because now you've got more teams jumping into the fray with the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, if you will. But if Golden State can't get it done, it's like, okay, now we turn back and look at Harrison Barnes. But if they get it done, he's you know, we can move him. And not to say that, you know, I give the leg up for Barnes over Kevin Durant. Like, that's a no-brainer. But it's like, it's not broke. I don't think Golden State is broken. I mean, this could be a situation that could always be in their, a thorn in their side, but they were a game away from winning it all, and you're already backing away from them. I mean, your thoughts on Barnes?
That's got to be a slap in his face.
Oh, well, we're interested, but not kind of interested. Kind of like to have KD. I mean, I don't blame him. I'd rather have KD than him, too. But it's like you said, it's like they're blaming him. Don't worry about Steph not showing up. Don't worry about Draymond Green hitting people down in the below the area and getting himself suspended. Let's just blame it all on Barnes for not showing up. Well, we're interested, but let's see what we do here. Did we possibly? What happened? I'm going to throw this out. What happens? They don't get KD, okay? What happens if Barnes goes ahead and signs somewhere else? Then what are they going to do? Then what's their other option?
Well, as of then, they would have to turn their attention to Andre Iguodala, who's actually getting older. That'll be more important than ever for them to try and get Barnes to stay put. But if Barnes ends up leaving and they can't get KD to stay, man, that'll set up for a wildfire in Golden State, which I still feel like they'll still do good because they still have their all-stars there. They have Draymond, they have Clay, they have Steph. But Bogut trying to get back from an injury, and you don't know where the confidence level of the remainder of the team is. I mean, Barbosa's played his tail off this year. But the rest of that Warrior team has to respond as well. I mean, there are big questions there if they can't get Barnes to come back.
Did you see where the Atlanta Hawks were in? They wanted to talk to and see the chances of getting Dwight Howard.
See, the only reason why I could see that happening for Dwight Howard to go play with the Hawks, he's a Georgia boy. And one thing I know about Georgia boys, all of them want to go back home. All of them want to go back home. And it hurts me to say it like this, but if Calvin Johnson had the opportunity to get a ticket to play football, you know where he would go? Atlanta. He would go back home. Exactly. He would go back. He even said it in an interview. I remember when they did the special on E60, and he was talking about he's a Georgia boy through and through and wanted to go back home. Of course, you get him entertaining the Bill Belichick situation, which I highly doubt. He's come out with a statement saying that he feels good in his retirement. His body was somewhat failing him, things of that nature. But, you know, a lot of people do like to try and go back home and make things happen. But that's why I really feel like they could go after Dwight, because let's be honest, you can move Horford to the four. That's if Horford stays, because that'll be Dwight's spot. And Millsap just signed that big deal, so it ain't like Millsap is going anywhere. Plus, we've seen the capability of what Paul could bring to the table. Millsap had 45-point nights in playoff games.
And they already traded Teague.
Right. So they're already letting them know that this is going to be a front court loaded team right now.
And they want to speak with KD.
Every team on that list is enticing for Kevin Durant, but one that I really think Kevin Durant is looking at, if they're ready for a championship run within the next 1 to 3 years, that's how I feel like he'll be looking at it. Because, of course, he could go to any one of these teams and get a boatload of money. I don't think money's the issue. He already know that he's going to get paid. I don't think one of these teams that are going to come at him, whether it's the Clippers, whether it's the Spurs, I don't think they're going to give him a low ball number. I think they know that they're going to have to come with it to bring Kevin Durant through the door. If we see Kevin Durant take a lower number to go somewhere, then that's shocking. That's shocking. But I really feel like he's looking at a team that is ready to address a championship need right now.
That'd be dangerous if he went to Los Angeles and played with the Clippers. And I forgot Fort City to mention them. The Clippers are in that list too. If you listened to the show last night, that can be dangerous. Paul can stay healthy. That could be a very dangerous team next year if they can get him.
It'd be a lot on the floor. I know that. They would have a lot on that team. They would. From Redick to KD.
And Doc Rivers is coaching.
Could be a lot. But hopefully, just like I said.
Paul Pierce ain't going to do much. He'd be the one coming off the bench. He'd be the one coming off the bench. He ain't got much left.
Yeah, I think Paul is at the end of his run. They're saying that he has to make a decision soon. They're saying Tim Duncan has to make a decision soon, too, before they have to give him the option if he still decides to play, which is, I think, is a $6 million this season if he does play. So,
Say he retires. Let's say Timmy retires. Could you see a situation? I know they've got Aldridge. That Pop goes down and tries to talk to Dwight and bring him down?
I don't think so, because they have that big guy from overseas. They still have David West also, too. So they have bigs in San Antonio. They do. Pop is ready for all of those situations, especially that guy, Marjanovic, I can't even pronounce his name. He's young. He's young. He don't even have to jump the dunk. Like, he's right there at the rim. Like, and he actually plays well. And he plays well, too. So I don't think that they need another big down there in San Antonio. I think that
I actually see Timmy coming back for one more year. I really do.
This is the edge of the chair decision to see if Tim does come back, because the way that he left that series up against the Thunder when they lost that series, he really looked like he was trying to lean on walking away from the game. But I do agree with you. I don't think that's the way that people want to see Tim Duncan leave the game. Not at his sharpest. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's going to get better, especially with him being 40. But, you know, I think people want to see Tim Duncan off better than, you know, I guess the Kobe tour. You know what I mean?
Right.
At least for me. Okay, well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote. The floor is yours. Thank you for coming to hold us down here at Sports City. You already know what to do, as we usually do at this time.
Yeah, good show. Can't wait to get back in. Once again, rest in peace, Pat. Rest in peace, Buddy Ryan. Everybody that lost their life in with the bomb, the suicide bombing, and the two suicide bombers, never know when it's going to be your time. So at this time, I want to tell my wife I love you, I miss you, I can't wait till you get back home because I need you. And like I said, you never know when it's going to be your time. I've got other, but right now, I can't do it.
Love you, bro. That I'm trying to tell you, Sports City, man. This is a big day right here, man. I can never forget this day, June 28th, just watching two different legendary coaches pass on. Just like you said, you never know when it's your time. And just thinking, I hate to try and make this visual, you know, effect in people's mind, but just picture you going on vacation or flying back home from vacation, getting ready to see your family, your loved ones, things of that nature, and then you got some stupid punk that want to take their life. And it's crazy that Tommy gave the numbers even bigger. From what I heard when I left work, it was at 10. They said the number was at 10 people, so hearing that is over 20, man, forget over 20. Hearing that is over one. Point blank period is ridiculous, it's senseless. I don't know one religion is teaching you to do that. But I don't know one. I don't know.
And I got to say this. I've got to say this. ISIS, fuck you. You bunch of fucking cowards. Bring your sappy asses over here to America and see what the fuck happened. Because you got U.S. soldiers over here waiting to cut your goddamn fucking heads off. Fuck you, assholes.
Man, I'm telling you, man, it's raw emotion can be, man, and watching people lose their lives over senseless stuff, especially when you're not aware or not seeing it come or you mind your business, or you could be back turned to it and 8 feet away from the dude about to pull the plug on a backpack. Like, and then you start to think about people that are in that airport or plane, and it could be children there. You're not even thinking about kids, man. You're not even thinking about women that's trying to continue life on earth. Don't forget, they help the seeds grow, man. I feel like I'm limited trying to speak because I'm not the biggest of I've been told I've been able to motivate people, but I don't look at myself like that. I don't. But people, I guess the best thing to do is we got to be more aware of our situations and continue to pray. That's the best thing that I can say to each one of us, man, and to the Summit family, to the Ryan family, to all of the families affected by the bombing. Hell, I can take it back 2 weeks ago to all of the families affected by the shooting in Orlando. Like, this month of June, hold on, wait. To Muhammad Ali, like, are you seeing Campbell's life? This month of June ain't planned. This is 1 month, people. Gordie Howe. This off the top of my head, I'm thinking about big name after big name after big name. Like, seriously? Y'all better pray, man. We're losing a lot of
I mean, hell,
around.
We wasn't even that much long after before we lost Prince.
Prince, man, listen. I love that dude right there. I love Tommy Beard, man. That's my guy, man. I'm going to rock with him. I got you, bro. You already know that, man. I've lost the closest person to me. I lost my grandmother to cancer. I lost a brother, you know, real close to being a brother of mine. Our family's so close. We grew up together since we were 4 to cancer. So these forms of situations, whether they have diseases that they can't fight, don't have a cure for, things of that nature, man. I've seen it. I've lived it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I guess the best thing I can say is my thoughts are with y'all. My prayers are with y'all. I don't like saying my condolences because I don't want it to feel like I'm, you know, looking down on the situation, man. I try to be uplifting. I say this all the time, man, because I'm going through death situation after death situation, man, and that's something I can never get used to. But Sports City, we are in this together, man. Like I said, man, they trying their best to divide us, whether it's religion, whether it's race, whether it's whatever. Just know that sports bring all of us together, man. Bring all of us together. I don't care if it's baseball, it's football, basketball, hockey, golf, NASCAR. Hell, I wouldn't have met Tommy Beard if it wasn't for the Miami Hurricanes football team and the baseball team. If it wasn't for the youth, I would not know this guy. Screw him. No, I would not. I ain't going to say screw him, but he know what I mean. And that's why I rock out with him to the end of the day, man. He already know, man. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I got to talk to him, see if he want to put some baseball in the air. More than likely, we'll be right back here tomorrow. If not, Thursday's going to be a very big day for me. Thursday's going to be a very big day for me, Sports City. I don't know if I can be on air Thursday because I'm going to be, like, totally out of my mind. Well, on that note, though, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town. I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't change me, but I wouldn't went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.